Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
And now, another episode of Enduring It Well, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Love one another, the great admonition to all. Love one to another can be expressed in so many ways as we travel through mortality. A parent tends a newborn or toddler, nurturing and providing security. A sibling expresses concern when trouble arises. A grandparent shares valuable time. A loving grandchild returns the gesture years later, and so it goes. Kind expressions of love open glimpses of our divine nature and remind us of our greater purpose here. To love and care for others is part of that divine nature. But what if we are called to care for someone well beyond the normal time, beyond the ordinary circumstances? What if someone near and dear to us has become dependent on our care for the most basic of needs? What if this new demand appears open-ended with no end in sight? On the other hand, how can we prepare for the possibility that despite all our efforts, the day may come when our care is no longer needed? How are caregiver and loved one cared for blessed as the service unfolds? How do we find strength to maintain our own normalcy while meeting the needs of one so loved yet so dependent? How can we remain positive and full of energy when we become exhausted and ragged in such caregiving? How can we be sure that our sacrifice, our service is acceptable to our loved one and our Father in heaven? The Savior taught us that it is through service and sacrifice that we really show our love. King Benjamin's reminder that by serving our loved one, often the weakest, most frail, the least among us, we are in the service of our God, can renew our convictions, and give us strength to press forward in this most unique and sacred calling, caregiver. Welcome to Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen.
My guest today is Shauna Ewing Stimson. Our subject is caregiving, the challenges and the blessings associated with this sacred act of service. This is part two of a two-episode series, Compassion Upon You, Caregiving. If you missed part one, be sure to go to the Enduring It Well archive on the Mormon Channel and download the first half of my interview with Shauna Ewing Stimson. Shauna was born and raised in Orem, Utah by two wonderful parents who taught her correct principles and what it means to love others. Shauna was married June 25, 1987, to her sweetheart, Terrell Ewing, for time and eternity in the Manti Temple. As a faithful priesthood holder, he was everything she had hoped for in a husband and father for their children. Fun, athletic, kind, loving, and adorable. Shauna and Terrell were married 5 years when Terrell was diagnosed with Huntington's disease, a fatal hereditary brain degenerative condition that slowly stripped away his physical and cognitive abilities. A slow death was imminent. With two very young children, a house to run, bills to pay, work to be done, and a terminal illness, life took on a whole new meaning as they learned in greater depth about sacrifice, love, commitment, the meaning of the law of compensation, and the healing power of the atonement. The extreme ups and downs of caring for their two growing children and her courageous husband was difficult but rewarding. After 15 years of slow deterioration, Terrell passed away in 2007, completing his mortal probation. Shauna's journey has not stopped as she has worked through her grief, but rather has taken on new challenges and rewards. In addition to the monumental loss of her dearest friend, Shauna discovered her identity had been closely tied to those years of caregiving, and suddenly she found herself searching to find herself anew. She is now remarried to Mark, another faithful man who lovingly accompanies her in her new journey of discovery and growth. Shauna, welcome to Enduring It Well today.
Thank you so much for having me.
What was the greatest blessing to you being a caregiver?
My relationship with my Heavenly Father and that dependency and that just watching the outcome of his direction in how to help him. I was guided to so many people and things and watching miracles happen and knowing that I had a father that loved me completely.
What you had to go through was a very high price to pay, but well worth it.
Oh, I wouldn't have changed it for the world.
What was the greatest blessing to him during his trial, do you think?
As I watched him gain greater patience and gratitude with the children and with me, because it's difficult to be wanting to express yourself and not having us understand him, or having maybe the kids get frustrated because they don't know why he's frustrated or what his needs are. And so I watched him. He already was very patient anyway, but to watch this happen, and I just believe that he was just going through the sanctification process to become more fit for the kingdom, and that he taught us all how to be better. His love for people came back to him just full circle because the caregivers in his life adored him. They felt his presence. He had a lot of people that loved him dearly. Everybody that walked into his room, everybody that met him, loved him immediately because they felt his love for them. And he was getting back what he had given to so many people prior.
How did you find strength to maintain your own normalcy while meeting the needs of a very dependent husband, plus caring for two very young children?
I was a younger caregiver than a lot of people are. And so I had age helping me. I had a lot of energy anyway, just because I was 33 when he'd had the stroke, and I had younger children, and I rarely let that get in the way of keeping us from being a family. I found strength in doing and just staying active, and we traveled and went to church, and the kids were involved in activities, and the more we did, the more I could see what more possibilities were out there for us to do and for him to do. And we just had to redefine our family and what we did as a family. And so really the strength just came from doing for me
and
the Lord, and spiritually too, but I was grateful for the physical strength.
And you didn't retreat into a corner as a family. I mean, I've seen you at numerous events and numerous places and doing a variety of different activities. You got out and lived your lives despite what was going on.
We absolutely did. I mean, I took Terrell with me when my son got his tonsils removed. And we were in the waiting room just waiting, he in his wheelchair and me, you know, and we were just talking, you know, I'm just talking to him and back and forth. And I just didn't want anything to get in the way of as normal of a life as possible. We went to ball games. The kids played ball. I wanted him and the kids to have memories with their dad and him to have great memories with the children. They really found strength in helping their dad. I know my daughter would be pleased as punch to tie his shoes for him and help him with some of the most basic of needs. She found a lot of satisfaction in that, in the littlest of things. And my son, I remember one time it was a very horrible evening and it was 1 o'clock in the morning and my son had gotten up and Terrell was not well at all. And he was actually sick to his stomach and I had to hold him up because I had suction machines and I was trying to hold him because he couldn't sit by himself at the edge of the bed and I needed to sit him up. Stephen, my son, runs in and grabs that bucket and helps me. And I'm holding Terrell and Terrell's sick and it was just a mess. And after Terrell was finished being sick, my little six-year-old at the time takes that little bucket, cleans everything out and toddles off to bed. And then he comes running right back in and stands at our door with his hands on his hips. And he said, "Mom, you could not have done that without me." And I said, "You know what? You're right. And I love you so much for that." And he smiled so big and went right back to bed. As my daughter began to grow, she was going through those teenage struggle years and trying to find her own identity as a young woman growing and maturing. As time went on, as she began to learn the positive approaches, how to communicate with him, it became easier and easier for her to embrace and accept that, and then transition from preteen child into a young woman. But it was work on her part, and I give her kudos. She was marvelous to really listen to me, first off, and take my advice on the best way to approach her father. He wasn't just furniture. He was her father, and he might get frustrated at the way that she might communicate, or my children would communicate.
And, but she listened to you.
But she listened because she wanted to build that relationship with him even stronger, and she did it. And the two of them were even closer. They were always very, very, very close, especially as a child. And so watching that transition and her really grow into that and their relationship become stronger, she loved her daddy. And it showed.
And you realize, you went through this whole thing, but you realize that her challenge was a very unique challenge.
Oh, yes.
You realize that most young girls are not called upon to deal with their father in that way. And so she made her way through that with some encouragement from you, with some positive feedback from her dad, and loved him.
And she really had great friends and adults in her life too, her young women leaders and others that really supported her and helped her, and I think taught her too. So
realized that she was going through this very unique
gave
experience.
Gave her support.
Yeah. Shauna, describe for us your feelings at watching your sweetheart slip from this life.
10 years before he passed away, no matter what other people thought, I knew that the Lord wouldn't take him until my children and I were ready. And I was about as prepared as I could possibly be for his death. He was on hospice for 5 years. I believe that he was also very prepared. The week before he passed away was really difficult. He was really lethargic and had a fever that spiked to 106. And we did everything we could to kind of keep his temperature down. And I checked on him early the next morning. And as I walked into the room, he was alert. And his fever had actually was gone. It was the first time that I had gotten really, his eyes were clear and just fixated on me for the first time in a long time, actually. And I was happy to see him so alert. Prior to this, even 9 months before I thought he was going to pass away, we couldn't talk about death without him getting extremely agitated because he celebrated life. But at that time, we were able to talk about it, and I was able to let him know that we will be okay. When it's the time, when it's the right time for him to go, we're going to be all right. And he was still just watching me very, very intently. But I just said, you know, your body's shutting down, and without really a lot of facial expression, he was just watching until I started to talk about him being an amazing missionary. He was a convert. So nobody had really joined the church. His father had passed away while he was on his mission. I said, you and your dad will be awesome missionaries. And he lit up and just smiled from ear to ear. And I promised him that I would continue to do his genealogy work as he was doing missionary work. And that was when I knew that it was going to be okay. And I knew it was going to be okay. He was happy. He passed away 2 days later after about an hour or so of talking. He was, you know, just slipped away. And there were tears, but it was so sweet. And I knew that it would be sweet.
What did you learn about the fragile nature of life?
That our life is a gift, our bodies are a gift, and our relationships are gifts. And that we need to live each day to its fullest and respect each of these gifts. Each of these need to be protected and cared for. All three, very much so. and that we may only have seconds to live on the earth, or we may live to be 100, and we are free to choose whatever we want with these gifts, but the consequences, we are not free to choose those consequences. We can die at any time, and so we need to prepare now and live joyfully.
What did you like most about the privilege of caring for Terrell?
Because he was so completely dependent, that I had that opportunity to be able to care for the most basic of needs for him. I mean, to know that without us, without people, without me, every single breath he took was as a result of his care. And to be a part of that was pretty humbling.
And special.
Very special, because I could be there to help with bathing and with food. He was G-tube fed after the stroke, but being able to be involved with that and all those things were just intimate. It was just a sweet experience to be the one that, just like you say, when you have your own children, the littlest of children, you are their everything. And it's sweet. And I knew he always was so grateful and happy with that.
And there's a bond there that not many married couples even get to experience, because you were doing so much of that for him.
You know, and that's a really good point. I'm glad that you said that, because it heightened the love for all the people, especially in my family, that were able to care for him and his basic needs like that. I remember my sister saying, I thought I loved Terrell before, but she had to help take care of him and things that she never dreamed about doing. I mean, we were doing things that most nurses don't even have to do in day-to-day care with patients that they deal with. And so these were huge. And my family, just my parents, my siblings, closest friends, loved him because of it. It was intimate, and you do love them more from those experiences.
What do the scriptures mean to you?
The scriptures have been a source of strength throughout my life, and I have been given direction through the scriptures over and over and over again, direct answers. I feel that our Father speaks to us through the scriptures to comfort us, to guide us. Within the scriptures are great men and women of faith and courage. Ammon, Peter, Captain Moroni, Moses, as I've said before, are some of my heroes whose stories have given me so much strength during various times of difficulties. And I knew that the Lord didn't love them any more than he loved me. So I could expect daily direction and strength and definitely miracles. As I said before, Moses was a great example to me of being able to, you know, looking at the daunting task when Terrell came home after 7 months of rehab. The last time he was home, he was walking and talking and taking care of himself and the kids, and now he needed complete care. And it was my responsibility to be that primary caregiver. And I thought of how Moses, like I said, must have felt over the Red Sea and wondering how he was going to deal with that obstacle. That was huge for me.
How is it to look back behind you and see that you crossed that Red Sea?
Oh, I wondered how I did it. You look back and think, I don't even know. And that's when I realized that I didn't do it. I just made the decision to go through, and the Lord created the way. And that's why that scripture, you know, from Nephi, I will go and do the things the Lord has commanded, because he will prepare the way. And he did.
So what would you say to someone who's exhausted in caregiving, worried for their loved one, and questioning their own ability to persevere? What advice would you have?
Those of you who are caregivers probably don't even realize how much you really know. If you're a new caregiver, I promise there will be a time that you will be amazed at all that you've learned. Don't give up. just do not give up. I think a lot of times we give up before we realize we can do it. I love Heber J. Grant's quote that where he says, "That which we persist in doing becomes easier to do, not that the nature of the thing has changed, but our ability to do has increased." It will get easier, but you really have to avoid burnout. That's really important. There's support out there. You're not alone. You need to reach out to friends and family and the community. Let people share the load because they will and they want to. People want to help. The main caregiver becomes kind of the expert on their loved one's needs, but others can become pretty good at it if we let them. They really can, if we trust and let them do that.
Observing what you did as a mother, what advice would you have to other children who may find themselves in the same position that your children were in? What advice would you give to those children?
Responsibilities in the home that make them feel important is really important. Things like, you know, just making sure that the house is cleaned and those things that they can help with that make things easier for everybody in the family. And you know what? Doing it cheerfully.
I couldn't help as you were answering that, and I couldn't help think of something that we did as a family. No matter what was going on, we always tried to help them keep an eternal perspective on things. And I have to believe that you had to have done that.
Oh, yeah. It was all about eternity. It had to be about eternity, and that the Lord is a Lord of compensation, and He will compensate for all the tears, all the loss. Everything will be restored. And that they can trust that. I trust it, that they can trust that. And I believe that that's something that they have felt. And I know that they've expressed it even now as they're in their early 20s.
Looking back now, what have you learned about the eternal love of your Heavenly Father and the Savior, given this demanding challenge that you went through in your life?
One thing that is really clear to me is our Father's plan of happiness, or His plan of salvation, is one of the greatest gifts of love and hope that He has given us. It is so magnificent to know where we came from and why we're here and where we're going after this life is through. When things were difficult, I was able to lean on my faith of the resurrection. And that he, my husband, would be restored to a perfect frame and free of these disabilities. And that because of my temple covenants, I knew that we would be together forever. And that seems so basic to those of us that are members of the church. But that piece of doctrine is unheard of in the world. And what a blessing it is to have that core piece. That is love to me. A gift of love from our Father, and that shows so completely His love for us, that we have that reassurance and that hope that can get us through these trials. And I know that will happen, and that's how I feel. One of many things that I feel His love.
Sean, it's been such a sweet experience to talk with you today about this subject of giving of care, giving of love, and going back to what the Savior said in 3 Nephi chapter 17, "For I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy." I have always considered 3 Nephi 17, the whole chapter, among my favorites of the favorites. And it's such a beautiful discussion. And he starts by saying, "I have compassion upon you," and then goes on to bless them as he brings them all to him. And then eventually he begs them all to kneel, and they pray. And then he has them arise from the earth. And he said unto them in verse 20, "Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full." And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he spake unto the multitude and said unto them, "Behold your little ones." And then one of the most beautiful moments ever recorded in any scripture on the history of the world happened, where angels descended out of heaven and encircled them in fire. And the angels ministered to them. It's such a beautiful scripture, beautiful discussion, an amazing experience. And as I look at the blessings, the trials, the overwhelming feelings often felt in caregiving, I can't help but think that our Father in heaven is aware of caregivers. Blessed are you because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full. And he wept. I can't end this episode without mentioning how powerful I think the Savior's example is in this, and the life that you've lived, my wife has lived, other caregivers live as we go through this difficult challenge in life and the blessings that come from it.
I was told by the director of the facility, one of the rehab units, that Terrell would never come home. He won't be able to come home. And she said, he will be too much of a burden on you. You are young. You can get remarried. She said he will be especially a financial burden, because he has to be, and he can't have any resources to be at this facility, but he will be a physical burden and a financial burden on you. Shauna, you can divorce him and nobody needs to know. I'm being told this by the director and I'm shocked. I thought, she doesn't know what I know. Since he's not gone, he didn't pass away, and he has made strides to get better, he's going to be at home. Even though I was on insurance, I didn't know my way future, but I said, he will not be a financial burden. This is my husband. I love him. Through all of this experience, obviously it was never something I dreamed of having in my life. And at such a young age, so newly married, but for whatever reason, the Lord needed me to learn that then, and for us to learn this as a family, the wisdom of these experiences to help us to become stronger. We're not going to get out of this life without a trial or trials. And we become stronger through these experiences and more able to handle the next experience and the next experience. And I am just extremely indebted and grateful for the many people that supported and helped us through this, and for just a perfect Father who knows and loves us perfectly in our weakness, and will teach us the things that we need to change, and we can trust him. I am grateful for our Savior, his example, his life, his sacrifice that gives me the peace that surpasses anything the world could give me. And I know that peace. I cannot manufacture that peace. It strictly has come from a comforter, and I know as a gift to help endure, and that even when we're just not at our best, he's still there encouraging us and rooting us on and helping us put 2 feet on the floor and get out of bed and start that new day when it feels like you can't do it one more time. I have learned to trust. And I'm so grateful for a loving Father and his Son. And without them, we would have no hope. And I have complete hope in his plan.
This has been Enduring It Well with host W.A. Christensen, presented by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.